Hey everybody, welcome to our February 2015 Skewed Cast. This is Gareth at Skewed and Reviewed. You can also catch us at Skewed and Reviewed, the magazine, as well as BJ Shea's Geek Nation on KISW-FM, which you can listen to online at either BJ Shea's, S-H-E-A-S, Geek Nation, or KISW.com. And you can also find us in the Maricopa Monitor and the Santan Valley News with our weekly segment. So welcome. This is the first show that we've been able to bring one of the regulars on board. We've had, Justin? We've had the flu going around both offices. We've had CES. We've had, PAX South. We've got PAX East coming up and Game Developers Conference. And then on top of that, Star Wars Celebration. Mm-hmm. And, Amazing Arizona Comic Con was recent and just been really, really crazy getting everyone in. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So what can you do? But anyway, Justin is here with us and Joseph is off actually screening The Lazarus Effect tonight. So that would be really funny because he wasn't feeling well last night. And I always think it's interesting that when you're feeling sick to go in to see a movie about coming back from the dead, so it'd be very interesting. And I told him, I said, I saw that movie 20 years ago. It was called Flatliners, but I think this one's going to go in a little different direction. So we'll see how that is. But that's the crazy thing. Anyway, folks, we've got a really special show for you tonight. We are going to do what we normally do and start off with some DVD reviews, move into some hardware stuff, and then we're going to spend the bulk of the show tonight discussing things from the universe of Alien. And in that, we will talk about the newly announced Alien sequel, as well as Prometheus 2, which I am told is going into pre-production in August. And or not pre-production, but you know what I'm saying, principal production in August with planned release of next year, as well as talk about possibilities for some new Alien video games, and we may lightly touch on some upcoming conferences. And as keeping with our plan, we're going to be putting out a new Skewedcast every month at the end of the month, so after this one you can look for the next one at the end of March. And without wasting any time, let me swing over to the DVD side of things. For early in the year, we're seeing a ton of DVD releases and announcements, as well as a lot of interesting video game releases. Now, obviously, we've talked a lot about The Order 1886, which has been all over, some people complaining about the lack of multiplayer and co-op, others talking about how wonderful the cinematics look in it. Some people say it's too cinematics, some people say it's too linear, back and forth. I can honestly say I've never seen a game as controversial and causing so much back and forth between the fans before it even released. So be interesting to see how that plays out long term in terms of sales. Looking forward to seeing Bloodborne, which is coming up at the end of next month. Played a little bit of that at PAX Prime. And of course, I'm definitely looking forward to playing more of Until Dawn, which I got a good look at both CES and PAX Prime. But since we're talking DVDs, wanted to mention some releases that have been announced. One of the upcoming announcements is brand new box set of Season 5 of TNT's number one show, Rizzoli and Isles. This will be coming out from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment on June 9th, 2015. Now, like I said, to give you an example, we're only in February, and we're already getting release information about what is coming out in June. So that gives you an idea just how much they're really, pushing this thing. It looks to be a very heavy year of DVD releases. I also have been updated that on May 26, 2015, we're going to be getting the release of Major Crimes, the third season, so really interested in that. On a side note, we are looking into doing video versions of some of the DVD reviews and some of the game reviews. And simply put, that would be a staff member, holding up the DVD or talking about the DVD on the webcam. We think might be a little different than doing the traditional audio stuff all the time, but see how that plays out. Now, something a little closer to home, because my niece absolutely loves this, but Elmo, the best of Sesame Street, The Best of Elmo 3 will be coming out on DVD and digital on March 3rd as well. So fans who have young children at home or anywhere in your family, you definitely will want to consider checking those out. Some other DVD releases of note, also from Warner Brother Entertainment, is Longmire, the complete third season. Now, this is a very good action-based show, as well as a very solid drama. And this follows Sheriff Walt Longmire, played by Robert Taylor, his deputy, and the adventures they get into, as well as the drama that is essentially brought forward by some of the dark secrets that, you know, inhabit his town. And it's got some very good picture and sound quality. And I knew of the show, but I hadn't really watched it before. And it was one of those things, kind of like Penny Dreadful, that you go, oh, yeah, it might be all right. But once you get in, you start watching it, you can't put it down. And it also includes the special feature, Longmire, the Ghost in the Storm, talking about how the characters were defined in season two and the aftermath of some of their actions, as well as some other good features. Really good picture and sound quality. And it contains all 10 episodes of the third season. Another one that you will want to check out, and Justin, I do not think you were old enough to remember this, but I remember when I was a little kid that this was kind of like must-see viewing on TV, and that would be Larry Wilcox and Eric Estrada as Punch and John in the California Highway Patrol classic Chips, where they play two motorcycle-mounted California Highway Patrol. Glenn Larson, who, you know, was famous for many shows during that time, instead of including Battlestar Galactica, was involved with this. And they finally are putting out the third season, and it has a lot of guest celebrity cameos and such. One of the great things about it is that you also have all five discs, 23 episodes on this. Star Trek fans may want to know, there's a lot of speculation about the officer in the police car being Michael Dorn, so, you know, you make your own decision about that. So that is available right now. Very good picture and sound qualities with English and French subtitles. And, you know, yeah, it's got the disco music. Yes, it's got the, you know, what we would consider cheesiness to the 70s to it. But, you know, the funny thing about it is you start watching it and you are absolutely hooked. Even when they start doing things like roller disco and things like that, it doesn't matter. The chemistry between the two leads is quite good, and it is a very funny and entertaining show. So, you know, that mixes comedy with action, a little bit of romance, which is why it was one of the big rating juggernauts of its day. Switching over to hardware, SanDisk was really gracious. They hosted us for a visit at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas, which was really awesome because we started our coverage with them when we arrived. My brother-in-law had been on site for a few days, and what they did was they picked us up over at the bus area for the shuttle to the conference center with a town car. It was actually an SUV, drove us to the hotel, put us up there, met them in a suite. They showed us the new products in a one-on-one setting, had a nice half hour or so with them, and then drove us directly to the convention center rather than to, you know, back to the van and back. So one of the products we wanted to talk about is the 64 gig wireless media device. Now, what this does is it's a square device, very solid, very stylish, and it wirelessly stores and streams HD content for multiple devices. You can put this in your pocket, and there is no internet required in order to use that. So simply put, imagine you have a laptop, a tablet, and a smartphone, or any combination of devices that you want to connect. You can connect up to 8 mobile devices and stream 5 HD movies simultaneously between the devices, as an example. So you get up to 8 hours of continuous streaming on a single charge. And the great thing about it is you can store and take your video collection, photos, and music with you in your pocket without having to worry about internet connection and stuff like that. So if you're, you know, for example, going up to a cabin, and you're not going to have any Wi-Fi access, but you're saying, wow, boy, you know, the kids are going to want to watch movies or stuff like that, or I better put something on there, or maybe bring pictures for relatives we're visiting. You bring that, you set it up there, streams it to all the various devices, no internet connection required, and it is fantastic. Another great device from SanDisk is the iXpand flash drive. This is designed for iPhones, iPads, and computers, and this allows you to easily move photos and videos between devices and instantly expand your storage. It has a 32 gigabyte capacity, and basically it will automatically sync photos and videos. It allows you to free up space for more photos and videos and watch all of the popular video formats. It's very durable and it has a flexible connector which works with all different case types, and you have high-speed transfer to and from your iPhone and iPad, as well as the ability to have your files encrypted across iPhone, iPad, PC, or Mac computers. And best of all, this comes pre-charged, out of the box, ready to use, ready to go. And that's just, you know, another wonderful product. Finally, I'm going to close before we get to the guts of the show with a product I'm really looking forward to trying out. And what this is the Vivitar Life Cam, and it's a wearable camcorder that is, roughly about the size of your thumb, height-wise and width-wise. And what you do is you wear this, and it gives you 1920 by 1080 HD video capacity, a micro SD card slot, a 66.4-inch field of view on a fixed lens, 2.4 digital zoom, and it supports Android and iOS apps and includes 7 different accessories, including a desktop mount, a clip mount, a suction mount, a head mount, a bike mount, a magnet mount, and a tripod mount. Now, the idea behind it is that you wear this camera, and as you go out and about, you truly capture the moments as they happen. Some examples of this would be that if you're into biking, if you're into hiking, if you're into camping, walking in the woods, anything like that, motorcycle riding. One of the new techs we saw at CES that was going really well was the dashboard cams, things of that nature. And what we're really looking forward to giving it a test out is when we get to E3 and San Diego Comic-Con, Phoenix Comic-Con, PAX Prime, and shows like that. One of the ideas that we're going to have is that either myself, Jen, or one of the staff members is going to link this thing on, and we're just going to walk around. I think for E3, that would be huge for me because so many times I'm busy going to meetings, I'm doing the play test, you know, I'm snapping the pictures, I'm shooting the videos, and this would be kind of nice to get a walking around view of that. So we're really anxious to see how that works. I've tried a sports cam from another company, and it didn't quite work well for me because the audio quality was quite bad on it, and that it seemed to, you had to kind of guess what it was recording, what when it wasn't recording, that sort of thing. So looking forward to trying out the Vivitar Life Cam wearable camcorder. Okay, so Justin, you've got some breaking news for us on the new Alien film, and before you get into that, why don't you give everyone a little backstory on what it is, how it came to be, what the current status is, and your breaking news, as well as how this will interact with the other alien-themed film we've been informed about.
Yeah, so if you guys haven't heard, Neil Blomkamp, the director and writer behind movies like District 9, which is honestly one of my favorite movies of the past, I'd say, 10 years, and Elysium, which I did watch recently, and that one had a little bit, you know, more mixed reception. And he's also directing the upcoming Chappie, which I am looking forward to. He's making the fifth sequel in the, or the fifth title in the Alien franchise. How this came about is, I guess, while he was making Chappie, he did some artwork, some concept artwork for what he would do if he were to make an Alien movie. And he posted all that online because he was thinking, you know, I'm not actually going to make this project. You know, it's Fox will never let me do it. Or I can't remember exactly what he said, but he basically said that he had not planned on actually making an Alien movie. So he put all the artwork online. And it was very interesting because we saw some faces in there that of characters that had died, like Hicks, and some other kind of strange things like Sigourney Weaver's Ripley in like an alien suit, and one of the derelict spacecrafts in some sort of presumably like a Weyland-Yutani hangar. So it probably would have been like a pretty crazy movie just based on that concept art. Well, I guess between him releasing that to the public and the public being excited because of Neil Blomkamp's vision, he's very visionary, very distinctive director. He has got a really great sci-fi style that would mix really well with the franchise. A lot of people were excited, and I guess somewhere in behind closed doors, Fox signed him up to make Alien 5. Now, that was announced a few days ago, and what's breaking today is, I guess, his movie, as he's planning it right now, I think he's still in the writing process, but it is not a sequel to Alien Resurrection. It is actually a sequel to Aliens, which means that they're kind of pulling what Superman Returns did to the Superman franchise. So if you remember back, they made Superman, Superman 2, and then they made Superman 3, and then they went back and made Superman Returns with Kevin Spacey, and that was a sequel to Superman 2.
And also an apology for Superman for the
Right.
quest for peace.
So they're kind of doing the same thing where, Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection weren't as well received. So he's going back and he's retelling Ripley's story, starting with the end of Aliens. So, and my thoughts on it, I'm a little mixed because I think, I do have my issues with Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection, but I don't necessarily think that they're so horrible that they need to be retconned. But that said, I think it was a huge mistake to get rid of such good characters like Hicks and Bishop. And so I do think this is a good opportunity. And I'm very interested to see what kind of alien movie he makes, because honestly, if there's anyone out there who's making sci-fi movies right now, he's probably one of the ones that would make a really good alien movie.
And that's very true. And I was thrilled to death when I heard this. And, we'll cover this extra part in a minute. I was even more thrilled when I heard that it will not affect Prometheus 2 and that Ridley Scott is going to be producing it. So it does have the continuity and stuff with the franchise. And I think that should, once and for all, settle any debate about Prometheus being part of the Alien universe. This strands of DNA nonsense. It clearly are prequel-related stories. Now, one of the things that I found very interesting about it, and I was thinking about this, is that they have to do things twofold. I agree with what you said. Alien 3 had its issues, and we could go on forever about them. And I think that anybody had seen the work print assembly cut of what David Fincher was trying to do but was vetoed down by the studio realizes that was a better option that they probably should have gone with in hindsight. That being said, you can also look at the William Gibson script, the two-parter that might have been a better option. If Sigourney Weaver and Michael Biehn are coming back, they are going to have to address the fact of how do you explain their aging. They are not going to look like they did at the end of Aliens. Now, Michael Biehn, as you've seen from the artwork, they can get away with some prosthetic scarring and stuff like that as a result of being splashed by the alien blood. But, that's an issue that they have to play with, and I wonder if they would go the route of basically filming them but yet giving them diddle facelifts along the way. What do you
Yeah,
think
I think
about
they
that?
could do that. And I think that's a really tricky thing because, and one of the issues I had with Superman Returns, and that kind of went the same route where they went back and they made a sequel to probably the best reviewed and most highly accepted Superman film, which is Superman 2. But one of the issues was that they were making a sequel to a movie that was over 20 years old at that point. So, over the course of the movie, it was kind of strange because, they were making references to things that had happened in a movie that was a really long time ago. And
Exactly.
it just did not feel ex like it belonged in that continuity. So I'm really curious to see how he tries to pull this off, because if they don't want to do digital facelifts, basically, then what he's going to have to do is basically set this as a direct sequel to Aliens, but set, 30 years later, which.
Which is one of the ideas that I was thinking about that going, there is, you know, people are saying this whole nightmare in hyperspace thing, that would be a cop out. Yay or nay. I've used that in some fan fiction. There is one possibility, and you know, we don't exactly know how the hyperspace, excuse me, how the hypersleep technology works. Now, we know from Alien to Alien, she was able to, you know, be in there 57 years with no real visible signs of aging and stuff like that. Who's to say that in the battle with the Queen that something wasn't damaged? Who's to say that there wasn't a facehugger or something on board like there was in Alien 3, but instead of it getting to the cryotubes and actually attacking things, that you know, maybe it started a fire, cut itself, and you know, the ship doing what most spaceships would probably do, lower some bulkheads, confine an area, open an airlock, flush you know, things out into space. So you could say, okay, they were in cryostasis. It was damaged enough that the computer couldn't stop the fact that they had aged somewhat in the process. You know, like for example, say the ship was drifting, and they were aging slightly while it happened because there wasn't the computer there to say, okay, you know, stasis has been compromised. It would be kind of, they're still asleep, they're in stasis, but it's not preserving their, you know, something like that, I think would work, that they could say, hey, the ship's, you know, I don't know if they'd want to use the tool of saying, well, geez, in two straight films, they've, you know, had cast members drift for a while, but, you know, it's reasonable to say, or you could simply say that, you know, there are any number of options, like maybe she's been in an institution or a correctional facility, as is him, you know, the old shut your mouth if you go forward with this. Something's going to happen, and they've been in prison for 20 something years, and then come out or escape because you know, they find out this big company plot. There are options to get around that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do. And the thing that I think that nobody has really touched on in this whole discussion about, okay, we're going to have the aliens, and it's all assumed that Sigourney Weaver is going to come back, and it's assumed we're going to have Michael Biehn back, which makes sense. What are they going to do about Newt, and what are they going to do about Bishop? Because these are all things that have to be addressed. Because, you know, short of them pulling the, oh, well, these two lived and this one died in the cryotubes, you know, and she's not a little girl anymore. And if the main cast aged, then she's going to have to age. Now, obviously, they could pull the thing, you know, they could pull the. I still think the easiest option would be to say that they all got back. And Newt was sent to live with grandparents or aunts or uncles, something like that. And Ripley and Hicks were essentially, you know, put in a facility somewhere or something like that. You know, you could play with whatever plot tool you want. Too dangerous to let get around the public for what they know, but too valuable to kill off in case you need them at a future date,
And you know,
something
I
like that.
think, kind of going off of that, I think actually a really good way they could go about this is kind of just take the Star Wars route and just say, you know, he's just gonna write the story he wants to write, and then, you know, not really have to worry so much about that filling in the details. And you know,
Exactly.
one of the things they could do, I mean, if they put Newt in the movie, then she'll have to be recast because, you know, that actress is now,
Carrie's, yeah, pushing
yeah,
30,
probably
I
pushing
believe.
30. And actually, I think that was the only movie she ever did. So I don't think like she'd be willing to sign back on. She probably is done acting after that if she hasn't been in a movie since. So you know, that all said, like I think what could work, the way I could feasibly see this working is, you know, just set the movie sometime after Aliens, and either if it's soon after Aliens, then yeah, they're gonna have to do some digital touch up on the faces. But if not, then yeah, just set it like 30 years down the road, and you know, just have some flashbacks or just some sort of exposition explaining, you know, what happened immediately after Aliens, and then kind of just go from there.
And like you said, with the whole thing, the whole idea of a ship in a hangar, they could do anything like stick those guys in some absolute ass end of space in a company facility where essentially they're working for the companies, but for all intents and purposes, they're prisoners because they don't have access to a ship to get them off, you know, planet. And so it's kind of like, okay, you're not locked in a jail, but you're essentially confined to this base out here. And, you know, lo and behold, they get wind of some, you know, skullduggery with the aliens underfoot, or maybe something happens somewhere and the company says, oh, dear God, you're the only ones who've really met them and survived. I guess we need you into the mix. I mean, like you said, there are ways to make it happen. The main thing is that it looks like they've got a very viable storyline. And the other interesting thing is it's got to be pretty decent because Fox is committed to the Prometheus line. And we've heard starts and stops for years about other alien films. I mean, let's remember, they even got James Cameron and Ridley Scott working together on a proposed film that Cameron pulled the plug on when he heard the company was going to go the AVP route because he felt this was going to destroy the franchise and invalidate any future sequels. So, you know, really, really interesting. And, you know, while we're on the subject of that, I was thinking we probably need to have a look at what Shane Black's up to and see exactly where they are with that proposed Predator film because we've not heard much about that since
he
announced it.
Yeah, I think he's still writing it, if I'm not mistaken. And, you know, I was going to say, like, I think there's a real opportunity here for Fox. I hate to kind of use, like, the stereotype cliché, but it's becoming that way now, that, like, a shared movie universe. But they really kind of do have a pretty good opportunity here to really just, if they get some good producers, and Ridley Scott can really, I think he's definitely got an eye for this, someone to really kind of bring it all together, retcon out Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection, you know, start a new kind of thread after Aliens, but also kind of have Prometheus on the front end, kind of bringing this whole franchise together, and whatever Shane Black is doing as well. You know, I don't want to say, like, it's going to end up like Fox's Star Wars. I don't think it has that tone, but I do think they have an opportunity to really kind of plan this out and, you know, maybe Alien 5, Alien 6, Alien 7, you don't know what goes on after this one, as well as on the front end with Prometheus and whatever Shane Black's doing. They could have it all tie in together.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Wow. Yeah, you know, that is definitely one way to do it. So I would definitely, that would definitely be one way to play it out. Now, another thing I'm curious about is, I'm guessing they're going to go the 3D route with that, since Prometheus was obviously filmed in 3D, and they're planning on filming the sequel in 3D. I'm guessing Ridley Scott would have a hard time passing up the temptation to, film the new film in 3D, which is interesting because Blomkamp traditionally does not, well, hasn't filmed in 3D yet. So, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ridley, that's definitely kind of Ridley Scott's thing now, is that he wants to film in 3D, and he's kind of one of the big pioneers in that. So I think definitely Prometheus 2 will. I don't know about Alien 5, but yeah, like if they are serious about kind of bringing this together as kind of like a, you know, bringing the franchise back and really kind of planning it out, then yeah, it stands to reason that they should probably try to keep the stylistic, like, directing kind of consistent, like, across the board.
And interesting thing enough, let's take a look at some of those pictures that were shown with the proposed new Alien film concept art. We, there's that one it's definitely an alien, but not an alien. You remember the big humanoid-looking character that Ripley is seen next to, which is going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. There's also the egg, which, if you remember, it kind of shows a different form of facehugger with, it refers to, like, a tooth around the tentacle, so we have to think there's either been some kind of manipulation or there has been genetic tampering at some point, so be interesting to see how they pull that out. So that's always good to see. Let's see what else we have here. Any other things that you wanted to discuss before we close it out
You know, I
today?
think that most of Cup, that's what I'm excited about. I'm excited about that this franchise is really coming back.
Yeah, me too. Beyond excited. Wanted to swing over and just briefly touch on a few things. We'll obviously have time to talk about this next month when we're going to go and do some, what do you call it? We're going to be doing some discussion about some of the upcoming conventions and stuff like that. But the Star Wars Celebration is set for April, and we are going to be there in Anaheim. And in addition to Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, and various cast members, J.J. Abrams and Ken Kennedy are going to be there. And there's rumors that we may see some new footage, although I've been told the next Star Wars footage is going to appear with the Avengers: Age of Ultron. But who knows? You know, this convention does happen before the new Avengers film comes out. We're also going to be following D23 in August later in the year. Should be interesting to note that they are going to be showing Revenge of the Sith in 3D. You're also going to be seeing, having a chance to see the very rare Apache, or is it Navajo? Shoot, I think it's Apache. I may be wrong. Either way, Native American language version of the original Star Wars film, which will be quite interesting to see how that plays out. And another thing that's going to be interesting is that they're going to be showing the season two premiere of Star Wars Rebels. So it'll be very interesting to see how that all plays out. You ever have like news that you just wish you could talk about, but there's a non-disclosure burning a hole
Yeah.
out there? Let's just say I won't give anything away, but you know, since I'm not the one that signed it, we have a staffer who is in a market far away who's helped us out from time to time, has seen a certain upcoming TV show that is going to be through a certain streaming provider about a certain superhero once played by Ben Affleck. And they saw a few episodes of the upcoming series and basically implied that they had to essentially sign their life and soul away in order to be able to see the first five episodes, but could not talk about it at all. So we'll have some information on that project coming up in the not too distant future as well. And you know, we've been looking at some video game stuff. We got our review for Evolve Online. We've got where are we? End of the month here. We got PAX East, and we have Game Developers Conference about to hit. So we'll be sending some people out to that. Hopefully, be seeing some new things. Normally, neither one of those are usually places where big announcements are made, but now and then people are starting to sneak things through less traditional channels. You got QuakeCon coming up, South by Southwest. So a lot of stuff coming up, folks. We also want to talk about a contest that we have coming up. And since I mentioned Star Wars, I should say that, Justin, by all means, you should definitely come out for this. In April, we're doing something different this year. Rather than the laser tag event, we had some, you know, issues with it. Fell at a time when a lot of people are prepping for Phoenix Comic Con and they had meetings and stuff like that. You've heard of the Star Wars Battle Pod game, have you not? And right now, Dave & Buster's is the only place that you can play it. Well, that's not necessarily going to be the case, as one of our local partners is going to be getting a couple copies of it, and they're going to be having some members of various Star Wars fan clubs, members of the media coming out. We're going to do a big event around that. It's going to be done on a Saturday, and we'll be posting things soon. I can also tell you that we have some gear from Krispy Kreme, some stuff from Evil Controllers, and some other prizes that are going to be on hand, and we're going to do a raffle, draw those off for charity. And see how that plays out. So we'll be keeping everyone posted on that. And finally, I want to finish up with some video game stuff before I forget. Havoc for Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, the PS3, PS4, and PC version will be out tomorrow. And that will include the brand new Exo Zombies as well as four new maps. And Gearbox, who we've talked about in the past, are looking to see how this interesting project of theirs goes. They have taken the classic games Homeworld and Homeworld 2, but oddly, not Homeworld Cataclysm, and released them in a remastered format, and those just came out today. I was poking around with those earlier. Look really good, so we're hoping to see how this plays out. Until then, guys, I think we've covered quite a bit of stuff. We're going to have some plenty of reviews coming up in the next couple weeks, including for Chappie, which we mentioned, Unfinished Business. We have The Lazarus Effect. We have already have Fast and Furious 7 coverage booked. So a lot of stuff coming up, and we'll talk to you later. Have a good one.